This very special musical episode is brought to you today by Equestrian Collections.
Hi there, everybody. This is Chris Duggan at Equestrian Collections, and I'd just like to take a brief moment of your time to wish you all a super Merry Christmas this year from me and also from all of our staff here. We're still being very, very busy Christmas elves today, but by the time you're listening to this, hopefully we'll all be back at home with our feet up and returning to doing some packing, which after the thousands and thousands of boxes we've packed, maybe we won't do the Christmas wrapping, but I just wanted to stop a moment and thank you all very, very much for buying from us, for being our customers, also listening to some of the episodes that we've done with Glenn on products. So I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to a very special musical episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. So good morning, horse people.
I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to see the world through your eyes. I wanna stay with you. I wanna play with you. Hear the rain fall down from your skies. Don't be afraid to show me what you're made of. I'm not afraid of the truth. What you think they mean? I wanna feel what makes your heart beat. If you take a stand that I don't understand, it's okay if it's confusing to me. Uncomplicated is so overrated. Love is not just something you do. Talk with you. I want to see the world through your eyes.
I'm not afraid of the truth.
Wow, thank you so much for listening in as we bring you a special musical episode of Horses in the Morning. We love these shows because we get to know some really cool horse people and musicians in a way that we can't with our normal time constraints on our normal daily show.
Today we bring you a true horse girl from South Florida who has an amazing voice and is one of the sweetest people you ever want to meet. Welcome, Raquel Renner. Hello.
Hello, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you so much for agreeing to be a part of our show here on Horses in the Morning. And we love doing these musical shows because we get to get it's kind of like VH1 Storytellers, but with horse people on a radio.
Love that. And thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be a part of this show. I love it. I've been listening to it, and it's so fun. So thank you, guys.
Well, you're very welcome. We're honored to have you. And let's go back in time to when you were growing up, and let's talk about the horse side of things first. So you actually grew up, you were born in New Jersey, but you really grew up in Southern Florida, didn't you?
Yes, I was born in New Jersey. That doesn't really sound like, you know, I would be a Southern girl, but you know, I moved away from there when I was real little and
smart.
You know, New Jersey, believe it or not, has a lot of farms, and we lived, you know, in a farming area in a ranch community, and moved to South Florida when I was real little, and moved to a farm in South Florida.
And now, what kind of farm? What were you doing on the farm?
Well, I mean, we had a working horse ranch. We boarded horses, and my mom was an equestrian. It was really not something that I was interested in, to be honest. It was something that my mom did, and you know, she showed, and she wrote English and Western, and she was involved in all of the shows. And I really didn't want to have anything to do with it at all as a child. And you know, it kind of grew on me, and it became, you know, part of my life.
That's unusual too, because I think most of the stories we hear, Jamie, on the air from people are, you know, they wanted a pony and they couldn't have one until later on in life. Yours was the exact opposite.
I had a pony. That was my first horse. I had an American Shetland named Thunder Sue.
Did you say Thunder Sue?
Thunder Sue. I didn't name it. So.
That's fantastic. Yeah, we had Shetland ponies too, and there's something that really teaches you, there's nothing that teaches you how to ride as a child better than a Shetland pony.
This is true, and I tell you, she was true to her name because she would take off like a shot. I mean, she was just, she would just pound the ground. She was heavy little thing, and it sounded like thunder when she was coming. So it was interesting first choice, but I think my mom was wise in doing it because, you know, she's trying to get us kids acclimated to horses and the horse lifestyle, and it was a good way to do it for sure.
Now, did you have siblings too?
I do. I have two older sisters and a younger brother, and everyone's musical in my family.
And did any of them end up being horsey?
No. I'm the one of the four of us that really ended up taking the interest and the liking to horses, and ended up, you know, having a horse as an adult. They did not, although they all still love horses. It's really mostly my mom and I that really are still interested in the equestrian lifestyle.
Now, you said she was riding both English and Western. Which one did you pick up?
Mostly Western, and you know, I was not a show person at all. I just liked to trail ride, and you know, I would just. My mom had an American Quarter horse that she rescued, that had been abused, and real high spirited, huge horse, probably almost 17 hands. And I would just jump on his back and ride bareback, and you know, I was just a kid that was fearless and didn't have a lot of training, had no interest in doing shows, just liked to trail ride with my friends and. Really, that was always my interest.
Well, you know, we are going to play your songs throughout the show. And the next song that we're going to play is called Something Gets Broken. And when I heard this title, knowing that you're a horse person, does that mean that something got broken on the 17-hand quarter horse?
No, not on the 17-hand quarter horse. Later in life, I broke my foot on my horse, Cody, the horse that's in my video, Cry. We had a little accident that involved an alligator, and
what?
And we're in South Florida, and you know, down in South Florida, the trails are a little bit different. You know, the landscape's a little different. We have to deal with things that you probably don't have to deal with out there in Arizona. it's a different kind of tricky. So the accident was, we were coming up on a lake, and Cody knew that there was an alligator there, and I didn't listen to his urging of me not to go that way, and I was trying to force him through, and he did a 180, and he went one way, and I went the other way, and broke my foot in the stirrup. So, broken bones, yes. But like the song says, it ain't a party till something gets broken.
All right, well, let's hear it. This is Something Gets Broken, Raquel Renner.
Ready to party, she said, "Hey Joe, let's go out." She couldn't get his old mojo started, couldn't get him up off the couch. So she packed up her dog, her dishes and her records, put some tire tracks in the yard. Left his heart in pieces, now he's hidden. Slipped into that black leather skirt, walked through the door with a mean looking fellow wearing tattoos and a muscle man shirt. Joe was shooting pool, had too much tequila, got mad enough to pick up a ball, busted someone's nose, and the chair started flying, and it turned into shattered his world. To keep him crying, he's laughing and a joking, getting out, forgetting how he's missing that girl. Hanging out now, drinking and a smoking, out on the dance floor, going through the motions. It ain't a party till something gets broken.
Wow, you know what? You can sure take that a whole bunch of different ways, my friend.
You can, Jamie. And you know what's funny is that my ex-boyfriend's name was Joe, and he has never heard this song. I don't want him to hear it. He might hear it now.
And I'm assuming, hopefully, you broke his heart.
I can't really divulge that. I think it was probably mutual.
I want to know what kind of parties, where these parties are in South Florida. That's what I want
to
know.
You've got a great voice and some great musicians behind you. Do you play any instruments?
Thank you. you know, I play a little piano and that's about it. I'm not really, you know, a musician per se. I'm more of a singer, songwriter, and, you know, I don't really, playing instruments really isn't my claim to fame. I'm more of a vocalist for sure. But I worked with some amazing musicians. I recorded that in Nashville. And my producer was a guy named Frank Thomas Green. He worked on all of Kenny Rogers' albums, and he worked with Garth Brooks. So never heard of him. I know. And he was amazing. You know, he really brought out the best in me and on all these original songs that I did. And the musicians, I mean, the people that they've worked with are, you know, absolutely incredible, phenomenal people. So I was honored to be able to work on that project with them.
And that song right there is so Nashville, because I can hear, you know, I don't know if you're into selling your songs, but I mean, tell me Gretchen Wilson or Miranda Lambert would not rock that song in an arena.
Thank you. Yeah. I think that song is awesome. And everybody that hears it, it's so honky tonk and so fun, and it just gets you up on your feet, and, you know, it just makes you laugh and smile. And I think that's what music is all about. So, you know, if I can bring that, you know, I'm happy to do it, you know?
Hey, I got to make a deal with you, though. If we're going to be heading to South Florida here for some of the shows over in Wellington and stuff, you got to take me to the place where this party took place, because it sounds like fun. So that's
you're not allowed.
The bar where the fight broke out.
Yeah, that's the place I want to go. That sounds like
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely. There's a lot of those down here in South Florida. You wouldn't think so, but there's a lot of rowdy rednecks down here.
Well, tell me, let's talk about your family. You come from a huge musical family, back to grandparents and you know, they're entertainers and musicians. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, you know, starting with my grandparents, my grandmother sang, you know, and my grandfather was same thing. They weren't entertainers per se, but they were always singing and dancing. And, you know, when I go to their house, they were always dancing in the kitchen and listening to Benny Goodman and all the big band guys from back in their day, the 1920s. And they passed that on down to my mom. And my mother she's a beautiful singer. But my father is really the one who is who's the singer. And he was actually coached by, his vocal coach was Carol Burnett's vocal coach. And, you know, he was the ultimate hipster back in the day. And, he's an artist and good looking guy. And, you know, he comes from a musical family as well. His brother, John, my uncle John Renner, is, he's been a part of the Beach Boys for 30 years and traveled with them as part of their band.
Really?
And, so it's been interesting. There's always music in our home. My mom was a classically trained ballerina. So theater and being on the stage and being in that lifestyle was always a big part of my life. I grew up around it. I was in the theater myself. I was classically trained as a ballerina myself. So the arts were a big part of my world and my life.
So we have a ballerina dancing, singing horse girl.
Yeah. It's not your norm. It's not your norm, but... But it's definitely been an eclectic, exciting life. My parents, you know, their belief system and their values were, they believed get your kids involved in everything. And, you know, they had four children and they didn't want us competing with one another. So they got us all involved in different things. And I just tended towards the, you know, the theater and the dance and, you know, the life of entertaining music and everything. So that was what I chose. But, it was always a big influence from them.
What were your hopes and dreams growing up as a teenager? When people said, what do you want to do when you grow up? Was it perform on stage? In theater, or was it?
Absolutely. Oh, always that I just wanted to be a singer. Yeah. That I wanted to be a famous singer. Theater definitely helps, because it's a different kind of training. It teaches you stage presence. But I just always knew I wanted to sing. I really didn't know in what capacity. I just knew I had to be on that stage. And, you know, for me, it wasn't necessarily about, making money out or anything. I just loved the way it felt to see how it made other people feel, you know, to see the looks on people's faces and the smiles. And, you know, music is such a wonderful conduit, you know, by which to express emotion and to really bring that out in people. And that is what I love about it. A lot of artists do it for other reasons. And, you know, that's really why I do it. That's the only reason I've ever done it.
Now, what do you remember what song you first sang on stage? You remember your first song on stage? What was it?
My very first song that I sang on stage was called Sleep My Child. It was in a musical, a Christmas musical. I was in sixth grade. And my dad had one of those old school video cameras, you know, and he was out there with his video camera. My mom was crying, and I sang this, you know, I was Mary in the production, and holding the baby Jesus, and I sang this song, and not a dry eye in the place, and I realized the power in that, and I just became addicted to it. And while I still danced all the way until I was, you know, 16, 17 years old, music pretty much took over at that point.
Well, when Glenn was introducing me to your music, his favorite one that he listened to was A Wink and a Smile, and it's off your first CD, Wait For Me. So tell us about this song before we play it.
Okay. Well, before I was a country music artist, I was singing here in South Florida in local restaurants and you know, swanky restaurants, kind of like the whole Michelle Pfeiffer, Fabulous Baker Boys thing. I would wear a beautiful gown and kind of lay across the piano, you know. And
yeah,
I was
girl.
Singing. Yeah. I mean, every girl dreams of that, right? So I actually did that. And it was so fun. It was in a very swanky, you know, high class restaurant. And I was singing all jazz standards. And the patrons kept asking me, you know, do you have a CD? Do you have a CD? And even though it wasn't my favorite genre necessarily, there was suddenly a demand for a CD for me. So I went into the studio. I was fortunate to work with one of Jimmy Buffett's bandmates. His name was Jim Lovell. He played the trumpet on the CD with me. And I made the album Wait For Me. And it's just covers of jazz standards. And one of the songs I wanted to do was A Wink and a Smile. And it's one of my favorite songs. It's a cute song. And so I'm glad that it's interesting that Glenn chose that. but then again, it was the most popular and the most downloaded song from this CD. So I guess people liked it.
I remember the days of just keeping time, of hanging around in sleepy towns forever. Roads empty for miles. Well, you can't have a dream and cut it to fit. But when I saw you, I knew we'd go together, yeah, like a wink and a smile. Leave your old jalopy. Slow, it's only green lights and all rides. We'll go together, yeah, like a wink and a smile. We go
Okay, I hear that song and I think of two things. Number one, it reminds me of the movie Sleepless in Seattle when he's on top of the Empire State Building and he's looking for Annie. Did you say what?
Big Sleepless in Seattle fan here.
Oh, girl, that took me right back to it. And that's like when Tom Hanks gets on the plane and he flies across the country to go find Jonah and then get on top of the Empire State Building and they meet.
Oh, it's a great song. It is. It's a great song.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, not many females cover it. It was covered by Harry Connick, and that's the thing in the movie. And I just love the song, you know.
Yeah, I've never heard a woman sing it. It's fantastic. And the other thing it makes me think of is, girl, listen, I don't know how you feel about this. And we'll get into a little more of where your career is right now. But tell me that if you went on The Voice and you sang something like that, they would not all turn their chair around. Bam, hit the button, flip around. You're on their team.
You think so?
Yes. How are you not? See, I'm a huge Voice fan, and I don't know, most musicians
too.
Don't. Are you really?
Oh, okay. I love. I auditioned for The Voice in Orlando, and you know, it's not like people think. Okay, I made it to the finals from Orlando, which, you know, there's several rounds you go through. You don't. It's not like people think. You don't get in front of the producers right away. You have to go through. You have to jump through hoops, and you have to go through different sets of judges. So I made it through the first three, which was phenomenal. I think they only picked 100 out of 1,000, so that was quite an honor. But then I never made it past that that third round. But yeah, they it's tougher than people think. But I love that. I love the show. I'm a huge fan.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing! You made it through the first three. I didn't even know that there was that many tears. The way it makes it look is like they heard about you and they send Carson Daly to find you and give you an invitation. So not like that.
No, it's not quite like that. I mean, they do that in some cases. I think if they're choosing from their video, auditions. But it's rare. It's great though. It's a very humbling thing. But you know, I've learned as a musician, Jamie, that like, you know, a lot of these like really young kids, they don't realize that there's a certain amount of due diligence that the producers want to see that you've, you know, put in. You know, they don't want to see that you just, you know, I want to be a singer and you haven't done any kind of due diligence. And so, they like that track record when they know that you've put in some time and effort to it. And so, yeah, these shows are great for discovering new talent. And I think it's awesome because it gives those people who, you know, otherwise might not have the opportunity to get in there and do it.
Well, so I'm just saying,
I'm all about it, and I love it. And I'll probably audition again for it.
The show can't be that good. They didn't pick you. They can't be that good. If it was that good, they would have picked you.
Well, you know, it's not like people think they have a map of what they want. It's entertainment, and it's a show. And if you don't fit into that map, that plan of what they need for this season, you're not going to get picked no matter how good you are. So I encourage people who are singers and want to audition, please do. You might happen to fit their demographic that season.
Right.
But if you don't get chosen, don't be too disappointed, you know, because it happens to the best.
You know, there's only one final winner. That's so awesome that you watch this show, because I see you being on Blake Shelton's team singing your country music, but like throw in something like that. Something gets broken, you know, and you rock them. Oh, girl, I could see it.
I love it.
Now,
thank you for that, Jamie.
Raquel, you made a point in your bio to talk about Sunfest. Tell us about Sunfest, because I think that when you read your bio, that really stands out as something that affected your life.
Yeah, it really did. Sunfest is an outdoor waterfront festival off of Flagler Drive in historic downtown West Palm Beach, Florida. All on the waterfront. I don't know. Have you guys ever been to West Palm?
Yes, I have. I've been on Flagler Avenue,
and it's
absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful city. It's a smaller city, but it's one of the prettiest cities for sure in the South. And we have, you know, the best of having farmlands here, but then we have the ocean 20 minutes from anywhere. So they have this big waterfront festival every year that attracts the biggest names in music you could ever imagine. Everybody who's anybody is there, you know, and So one year, I was in a band back then, and it was a rock and roll band, and I was actually helping to promote them, but I was singing backup. And it was a phenomenally talented gentleman named John Stepp, and he really wanted to sing at Sunfest, so I was helping to promote him and get him the gig. And finally got the, the promoter to hire him. And he ended up, the band ended up opening for the 1980s group. I don't know if you remember them, but the Wallflowers.
Jacob Dylan. Right. Sure.
Right. And how it works is every stage, there's like six stages set up, and every stage has a back lot with trailers. So we all had our trailers. We had our little teeny tiny trailer. The Wallflowers had their big trailer. And then Jimmy Buffett had a couple artists there. So their trailer was there. So I just didn't expect I had no idea what was going to happen. I didn't expect, what happened to happen. But what happened was we were all back on the back lot in our trailers, and everybody was meeting each other. And Jimmy Buffett comes walking up, and I mean, it was like Kate Hudson was there because she was at the time involved
Black
with one
Crows.
Of the other band. Yeah. So,
well, wait. So, were the Black Crows there, or because she was married to Chris Robinson for a while?
Married to Chris Robinson at the time, and this was like early in my career, and so she was there, and we talked to her, and Jimmy Buffett walks up, and we're hanging out with Jacob Dylan, and it was just so surreal. It was one of the best moments of my life, and I thought, if nothing else happens in my music career from this point on, I will still die a happy woman. So it was just really incredible. It was a great experience for me. You know, the thing draws over 300,000 people, so it was a really amazing venue.
It's very impressive, but I've got to ask, Glenn, are you so impressed with my knowledge of 90s rockers?
I am so impressed.
Yes, I am. impressed.
Well, Jamie did have a real radio gig at one point in Atlanta for very many years, and so she worked on the music station. I am not surprised you know this stuff.
You know it, girl.
I'm surprised you remember it. That's what
I got to meet Jacob Dylan, and those blue eyes were penetrating. Oh, my God.
Oh, are they not, though?
And Chris Robinson is from Atlanta. Okay, the Black Crows are an Atlanta band, so of course I know my ATL music. And that music between the Wallflowers, the Black Crows, that time that you're talking about was so awesome in music to me. You know, the mid-90s, late 90s rocks.
I could not agree more, and it was such a fun time to be in the mix, and I was singing in a rock, kind of like an alternative rock band, and it was so cool to be a part of that. So, yeah, I definitely have that in my history, and I'm proud to say it. So
I got to tell you, though.
I relate to you, Jamie.
I got to tell you, Raquel, when I think about you singing in an alternative rock band after just having heard a wink and a smile, it's hard to go from you laying on the piano into an alternative rock band,
Well, I'm a little Provence in my style and everything in life. I have a little bit of everything going on. I'm very eclectic, but I have a gospel background. And, I grew up singing in American Methodist churches and in an American Methodist choir. And, so there's a lot of different styles that lend themselves to my vocal abilities. And I'm grateful for that.
How did all those styles lead you then to realizing I want to get out of the jazz thing and I want to get into the country thing, and then shipping you off to Nashville to work with Kenny Rogers people. So how did that happen?
Well, my dad is a huge fan of Hank Williams Sr. and Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash. And he was always playing that music in the house from the time I was a little kid, even when we were living in New Jersey. He loved all the country greats. Elvis, I knew every word to every song. And it was just in my blood, I think, from the time I was young because of that. And then growing up on a ranch and being around horses and that lifestyle, I was trying to fight it, so hard. I was going in every other direction and kind of trying to fight that part of me. But that's really who I am to the core. And so it kind of etched away at me until I gave in, really. I've always loved country music. I love what country music represents. I love what it's about. I love, you know, just so many different aspects of it. And it really does represent who I am better than any other style. So that's why I ended up with it, you know, in it.
Well, let's talk about one of the songs that we're going to play next. And we mentioned it before. Tell us about Cry.
Cry. Cry was my first attempt at writing and producing. I did write the song, lyrics and music. I worked with a great team here down in South Florida called Saturn Sound Studios who ended up, you know, doing the video production work. It is an absolutely beautiful video. If you haven't had a chance to see it, you can find it on YouTube under Raquel Renner, and it's called Cry. And, you know, it basically chronicles what I was going through at the time. I was in a relationship that was, you know, not good, and there were many, many sad moments. And basically, you know, what I was writing about was directly what was going on in my life at the time. So if you listen to those lyrics, they are definitely mirroring every emotion I was feeling. So it's definitely a sappy country love song. And again, it was my first attempt at really writing music. But I love those lyrics. They are mine, and they resonate with me. And I've had a lot of people tell me that, oh, my gosh, you know, I felt the same way, and your song just really touched me. So, it's a bit sappy, but it's a beautiful song.
Woke early this morning, sun is shining through. I can't figure out why I'm still feeling blue. Got myself some coffee, headed out the door. Been thinking about the fight we had the night before. Even though you say you're sorry, you don't mean it. I've heard it all before, my heart just won't believe it. Why you make me cry, 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 cry. Headed for the office, trying to shake it off. Keep hearing those cruel words and feeling kinda lost. Just can't wrap my brain around those nasty things you said. Need to concentrate and get you out my head. You can say you love me, trying to appease me. I ain't gonna let you off the hook that easy. Why you make me cry, 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 cry? Running round in circles, stress is on my brain. Walls are closing in, I feel like I'm insane. How could I have let you get the best of me? They say that love is blind, but now I really see. Now you can work your magic this time all you wanna. I'm stronger than before, I'm done with all that drama. Why you make me cry, 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 cry? But with a man like you, I don't stand a chance. I know that
girl, like, all of us haven't been there, okay? I mean, we know we have to do it. It's a tough decision, but it's the best decision for us. And yeah, it's going to hurt. But
yes. And it was, I was still in the relationship when I wrote the song, you know, and it was almost like I was trying to send a message to him, but he, you know, he didn't get it. Unfortunately, it didn't last, but
we never
but, yeah,
do.
You're so right, Jamie. Mm. So I just wrote it all down on paper. Never thought I'd make a song of it, but you know, it was definitely a fun project. And Cody, my horse, was in the video.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him too. Now, the photo that we have of you is you, and of course, you're absolutely gorgeous, and you have this beautiful buckskin with you too. I'm keeping this picture away from my husband because pretty women and buckskins are his two favorite things. But yeah, so this buckskin that you have in this photo, from what I hear, is a PMU rescue, and I'm a huge supporter of, you know, obviously getting rid of any PMU facilities and taking care of those PMU babies. And this is a PMU baby.
Yes. Yes. I got him. I was summering in Northern Michigan one summer, vacationing there, and, Hope for Horses. You're probably aware of it because they're all over the United States, but Hope for Horses is a horse rescue that, helps to rescue PMU as well as other, horses that are in abuse situations. And, they were having a clinic up in Northern Michigan, and I decided to go to the clinic just thinking I would just take a look and maybe sponsor a horse. And, there were only two, male horses, and, he was one of them. And he was the crazy lunatic that was out way out in the pasture bucking, and, you know, and the owner of the barn there, she said, don't adopt that one. And I said, no, that's the one I want to adopt.
Okay. First of all, let me just back up here. Let's be real. You did not go to a rescue thinking that, number one, you were just going to sponsor one. That never happened. Number two.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like going to the pound and not coming home with a dog, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Number two, anytime somebody says, oh, you can't handle that one, boom, that's the one we want.
Boom. Yes. And I'm such a rebel that, you know, hey, give me a challenge, you know, I'm that girl. And, you know, I didn't have, I'm the first one to say, I really had no experience in training a horse. I had only had experience in riding and the basics. And, you know, she really was strongly urging me not to. She said, get one of the mares, you know, he's a tough one. And I said, well, you know, if he's tough, it's going to be harder for him to get adopted. So I did sponsor him for a few months, and then I couldn't stop thinking about him. So I'd go out every day while I was there and visit with him and try to get to know him. And it was a long, long, hard process and lots of training. I had several vets, several furriers tell me, get rid of this horse. This horse is going to hurt you. And I refused to give up on him. He had a fight or flight tendency, and, you know, that's hard to break in a horse.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just worked with great trainers and wonderful people. I brought him down to a beautiful facility in Western Jupiter, Florida, called Ranch Colony. The name of the farm was called Desert Rose Ranch, and a wonderful couple, Pam and Pat Lebecki, they held my hand through the process. They helped me with all the training, and they weren't going to let, you know, anybody tell me I couldn't do it. And, you know, they were there to support me and help me. And we turned him into an amazingly wonderful horse.
And do you ride him a lot now? Do you spend a lot of time with him?
This is very sad, but I recently had to give him away because I just don't have time anymore in my life. I've been traveling so much and working so much with music and other projects that I didn't have the time to give to him. And there was a young girl, a 21-year-old girl who had won World a couple times. She was a barrel racer and a show girl, and she wanted him so badly. And so, so she's with him now, and I'm happy because I can visit him whenever I need to. But, he only moved about 20 miles from where I live. So, it's sad, but, you know, at this time in my life, I can't wait for the time in my life again that I can either get him back from her.
Well, we've all,
or, you know, I can, you know, be involved with horses again.
We've all been down right that now, road. We've all been there. We've all had that situation. And you know, as horse people, we always end up getting a horse back in our life. And, you know, but Jamie, I know why she had to do this. And I'll tell you why. It's because she's too busy right now being voted one of the most beautiful people in Stuart, Florida. And, apparently, we're not the only ones that think you're pretty, because you were voted one of the most beautiful people down there. So that must have been quite an honor for you to be voted that in your hometown.
Yeah. You know, that was quite the surprise and quite the honor. When the editor's name is Kim Capen, and she actually approached my sister and said, you know, I've heard that your sister's a country music singer, and I would like to put her in the July issue of the magazine. Well, I had no idea at that time. Now, this is my hometown of Stuart, Florida, where I grew up. And I had no idea what the article was about. So I thought, oh, they're going to showcase me as a country music singer. I was so excited. But then when they said it was their most beautiful people issue for 2012, I actually kind of got that feeling, like, yeah, I don't know, because I think that's great and wonderful, but I see myself as a country music singer. And so I was a little disappointed that it wasn't going to be more focused on that. But still, I mean, who could, you know?
They would have been better off saying you had one of the most beautiful horses. That would have made you thrilled. You would have been thrilled about that. But you're a typical horse girl. You really are, because any horse girl that got that would go, oh, yeah, okay. They'd have the same reaction you just did.
Yeah, you know, I just, anything but, you know, most, it seems just so funny to me. I don't know, because, you know, I feel like I'm the girl next door for sure, but, you know, most beautiful, I don't know. There's some hot girls in this town, y'all.
Tell us about your website and where people can buy your music.
Sure. You can find me at RaquelRenner.com, or you can find me on Reverb Nation. You just go to ReverbNation.com/Raquel Renner. My music's on iTunes. So you just go to iTunes, type in Raquel Renner. You'll see all my music. You can download it there. Or really anywhere music is sold online, Amazon, eMusic, pretty much everywhere online. Or you could just do a Google search for me. I also have a couple videos on YouTube, again, just under Raquel Renner.
Now, we're going to play a song out today called Nothing Changes. Tell us about Nothing Changes.
Yes. Nothing Changes. Nothing Changes sort of, again, mirrored what was going on in my life. And it was also that same relationship I was talking about. Man, I had a lot of material back then. But no, I just recently released this song. I recorded it at Hilltop Recording Studios in Nashville. And, you know, basically it's about the fact that if you want something to change in your life, you've got to get up and make it happen. That, you know, if you stay in the routine and do the same thing, you're going to get the same results. So if you want something to change, it's up to you. Got to get up out of that chair and move. So it's definitely one of my favorite songs, and it's on iTunes right now and recently released. So go there and check it out, and hopefully you'll love it.
So, Raquel, so we can find all your music on iTunes. Do you have a website that you want to mention?
Yes, ma'am. Just RaquelRenner.com. And you can go there, you know, to hear my music and see, you know, my show dates and things like that.
And all our pretty pictures.
And news and information.
And all our pretty pictures. Lots of those
on
there.
Yes. And we'll follow you on Facebook, too. I'm sure it's just search for Raquel Renner.
Yeah, you can go to my Raquel Renner artist page and like my page. You can follow me on Twitter at Raquel Renner. I would be thrilled if you would. I love, love, love my fans, and I love hearing from people. So feel free to contact me and give me your comments.
Well, we'll do it. You know, I feel like I made a friend today. So, Raquel, thank you so much
for being on
the show.
You're welcome. You are a sweetheart, as are you, Glenn. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's been such an honor.
Something inside keeps dragging me right back down this dead-end road. Over and over, reliving and learning these lessons I already know. You don't really love me, but still I stay. Thinking that things are gonna be different someday, but nothing changes.
changes. How can I get over you if I don't ever make a move? Nothing changes, even nothing changes. I'm the only one to blame if everything stays the same. They say if you do what you always did, you're gonna get what you always got. Nothing changes. Tears fall down my face, or I could stand up, take a step, and get what's left of me out of this place. I've depended on you for way too long. It's gonna be hard to start living on my own. But nothing changes, if nothing changes. You always did, you're gonna get what you always got. Nothing changes.